Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
This morning, then, my topic is the topic of confession. I thought, as we were preparing this series, I thought, let's not even put that on the notes. Let's not even put the word confession on the notes prior to this week, because I wouldn't want anybody not to show up because we're going to talk about confession. The fact of the matter is, there are things that are buzzwords or touchy things in our life that just zap us or zing us the wrong way. And we think about words like confession, and sometimes it rubs us the wrong way. We just don't like necessarily the way it feels when we talk about it. But I want to show you this morning through the Word the power of confession and the intentional discipline of confession in spiritual training, and how when we apply that as a specific discipline over and over and over in our lives, what it will do in our lives, spiritually speaking. So confession is not a bad word. I would see it as a gateway word, really a gateway word that would swing open a gate of opportunity for you to walk through. Confession. And I'm gonna dispel some myths this morning about confession and talk to you about what I believe confession is, and I'm going to prove it to you through the Scriptures. I've said that over and over and over that all of my life, that my desire has been to walk out what the Word says, and if I can find it in the Word, then I want to walk it out and I want to live it. Are you with me? So I'm going to prove to you and through the Word what God's Word says about confession. I'm going to ask you to take some action steps today before we're gone. And some of them may cause you to step outside of your comfort zone, and some of them may stretch you a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to training, and I want you to think about that, that's the series we're in, Training Day. When it comes to training, there are times we have to do what hurts, right? We have to do what hurts, and we push through, and we do what hurts. There are times we have to do what is hard. Sometimes we just have to do what is hard, and we might not necessarily like it, but if we're going to see the breakthrough, we have to do what's hard. Sometimes we have to do what we hate. Sometimes we have to do what we hate. And all of that is tied into our spiritual training. And so we're going to talk about confession right now. And so I'm just going to pray that God's Word would not be hindered by my delivery, and that it would just be implanted in our hearts as fruitful seeds. So, Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we humble ourselves before the authority of your Word. And we ask God for great revelation and clarity. And even as the testimony this morning, 50 years serving you, and yet breakthrough was able to come. Father, I pray this morning as we open your Word that your Word would unlock truths in our hearts, things that maybe we've never seen before and that you desire for us to see. So, God, we're open to that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me read for you the definition of confession, and it's on your outline, but let me read it to you because I want us to have a broader perspective of confession, not necessarily this just one focused thought about confession, but broaden our perspective on that. So here's what confession is. Confession is acknowledgement. So when we confess something, we are acknowledging something. It's an avowal with implication of change of conviction or a course of conduct on the part of a subject, on the part of us. So it's a conviction or a course of conduct of change for us. It's admission. It's acknowledgement or disclosure of sin or sinfulness. And it's also this. Confession means to say what is true, to agree fully. To say what is true and to agree fully. So when we're talking about confession, we're talking about also to agree fully with what God's Word says. So confession is coming in agreement with certain things. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about coming in agreement with God's Word. Coming in agreement with God's Word in relation to confession. So several weeks ago when I knew this was going to be my topic, I said, Lord, where do you want me to dive into your Word? Where do you want me to unpack this? Where do you want us to dive in and learn some timely truths about confession. And here's where God brought me. He brought me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 40 through 45. Normally, I wouldn't have picked that portion of text. Normally, I would have dove in probably somewhere else, but I felt like God wanted me to start here. And the more I meditated on this, the more I thought about it. And I've said this in many, many environments before. You may have heard me say it, you may not have heard me say it, but whenever I approach the Word, whenever I go to the Word to study the Word, I often say to myself, so what, now what? So what, now what? So what, there's this story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, the very beginning of Mark's book. This is the first story Jesus wanted Mark to put in his Gospel. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. So what? But then, more importantly, now what? Now, what does this have to do with me, God? What does this story about the leper in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45 have to do with me? And that's what I want to share with you. So let me read it to you, and then let's dive in and let's dissect this portion of Scripture and see if we can find out what God's heart is for us. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is very interesting to me. It's very interesting to me for many reasons. And let me say this about not just this portion of Scripture, but a lot of the Bible. A lot of the Bible allows us the ability to wonder. In other words, we can read something and then we can wonder about the story. So I can read this story and I can wonder why this is one of the first things that Jesus wanted Mark to talk about. I wonder why. And I wonder why Jesus allows us to see a man that was supernaturally touched by him immediately disobey him. That's strange to me. Why would that happen? Why would you put that in there, Jesus? Why would you put a story of a man that was supernaturally touched by you in the Bible and then follow it up with his disobedience? Because Jesus said sternly, "I am willing, you're going to be clean, be clean, now go show yourself to the priest." And for whatever reason, the leper disobeyed. And I wonder if there's a reason. And I wonder if in relation to confession, we can discover a reason. I'm going to submit to you today that we can. I'm going to submit to you today that we can discover something in here. And so I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit later. But let me say something to you as we begin to discover different pieces of this picture. First of all, we have to know the setting of what was happening here. We have to know and we have to understand what it meant for a leper to approach Jesus. It was against the law. It was absolutely not possible for him to do that. His life was in grave danger with him doing that. The law prevented him from doing that, but yet here's this man who says, "I got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. No matter what is going on in my body, I've got to get to Jesus." So I want to tell you three things very quickly, and you'll write them down on your outline. I want to tell you three things very quickly that we're going to need to talk about, that we're going to need to understand from the leper's perspective and ours as well, if we're going to understand confession properly. So lessons from the leper, if you will. The first thing we have to understand from the leper is that he had a desire to approach Jesus. See, he wasn't allowed, like I just said. He wasn't allowed. Immediately, as soon as a sign of leprosy showed up on human skin, they had to go to the priest. And they would go to the priest, and the priest would identify if it was leprosy. If, in fact, it was leprosy, they would be quarantined for a certain amount of time. Then they would be required to come back to the priest, and if that was gone, they would be invited back into the camp of the clean. If it was not gone, then they would be under observation for a while, and eventually, if the leprosy was manifest fully, they were excluded from the camp of the clean. This is very important to understand this. They were excluded from the camp of the clean. So it was not only were they excluded, it was against the law. And here's this man who has this desire that says, I just got to get to Jesus. What does he have to get to Jesus for? Very important to understand this when we read about leprosy in the Bible. Leprosy was never something that someone was healed of, but always cleansed of. People, when they had the infirmity of leprosy, they weren't healed, they were cleansed. I wonder why. I wonder what the distinction is between someone being cleansed versus someone being healed. Because when this man came to Jesus, he said, Jesus, you can make me clean if you're willing. Jesus said, I'm willing. And so the Bible says immediately the man was cleansed, not healed, he was cleansed of his leprosy. So first of all, he had a desire. Do you have a desire for the things of God? Do you have a desire for cleansing? There are people in here today with what I would call spiritual leprosy. You see, when somebody shows up with leprosy on the outside, it's obvious because you can see it. It begins to show up as sores and you can see it. But unfortunately today in the body of Christ, there's spiritual leprosy. There are things that are unseen that have happened on the inside of individuals, and those things are growing. And they've grown and they've grown and they've grown. And it's this leprosy that has made you choose to be on the outside of the clean. And there was something on the inside of this leper that just said, no, I've got a desire. So he started out with a desire, but then he made a decision. And I'm going to encourage you that today that as we're talking about confession, it always starts with a desire but then it has to move to a decision. See, he had to make a decision that could be very costly to him. As he began to come into the camp of the clean, people would very probably start throwing rocks at him. Because one of the ways that you ensured that you would stay clean is you would stay a certain distance from a leper. So people that were lepers in those days had stones thrown at them. Can you imagine that? I want you to imagine if at one point you were clean. In the Bible days, you were clean. You didn't have leprosy. And all of a sudden, the spots begin to show up. And now you don't get to live with your family anymore. Now you don't get to be around the people you used to be around anymore because you've been labeled a leper. And you've been labeled unclean. And now all of a sudden you're being pushed on the outskirts of the people that you did life with. But that leper, something clicked in that leper and he said, you know what? I've got a desire to be clean. And I'm making a decision. Whatever the cost. And some of you in this room have had rocks thrown at you. You've had people say things to you that nobody knows but you. And it's caused you to stay on the outside of the camp of the clean. And God says, you know what? I am willing. I am willing for you to be clean. So this leper, these lessons that we learn from the leper, you're going to need to apply them this morning. And I'm going to move through this fairly quickly, not too fast, but fairly quickly. But it's all starting with desire. Do you have a desire to be out from under whatever it is that you've been under? Do you have a desire to be clean from whatever's been over you? Then make a decision. And then finally, what the leper did is he dared greatly. He dared greatly. At risk of his own life, he dared greatly to come into the camp of the clean. We got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to say that I matter to Jesus. You matter to Jesus. And maybe you've compared yourself all of your life to other people. And because of that, you've come under this, what I would call spiritual leprosy. As I was praying about this message, I just said, Lord, what is it? Is there a thing? Is there something that is plaguing the body of Christ right now? Is there something that you want specifically spoken about that your people need cleansed from? And the Lord said to me, shame. The Lord said to me, shame. Shame. And I want you to write this down for number one on your outline, and then I want us to dive into this very important understanding of cleansing through confession to deal with shame. Number one on your outline, confess your desire for cleansing. Jesus is willing. Confess your desire for cleansing. Jesus is willing. You see, there is a shame associated today with people. And people carry that shame around with them. And for the leper, it was the shame of what he looked like. I wonder if people said to him as that leprosy began to develop, I wonder if they said things like, "You're disgusting. You make me sick. Get away from me. I can't stand you. Don't come near me." And I wonder if they started throwing rocks at him. I wonder how horrible that must have been. Can you imagine how horrible that must have been? I didn't want leprosy. I don't know how I got it. And now I can't be with you. Now I can't be around you any longer because of something that I didn't want or I didn't deserve. And now all of a sudden he lives over there. I wonder how many people come into church, but they live over there. Because they walk in and they're just filled with shame. And they're carrying this wet blanket of shame around them. I wonder how many people said to the leper as he approached Jesus, "How dare you? How dare you? Who do you think you are coming up to Jesus? A rabbi couldn't get close to a leper, let alone touch a leper. If a rabbi touched a leper, he would become unclean. And here comes this man on his knees," the Bible says, on his knees. Are you that desperate for God? Are you that desperate for God that no matter what it takes, you'd come on your knees if you need to come on your knees? On his knees, imagine that picture. People are thinking, "How dare you? How dare you come close to a rabbi? You're unclean." And yet here he comes on his knees. And what does Jesus say? "Oh, I'm willing. I'm willing." And he reaches out his hand and he touches him. So here's what you and I need to do. If we want to confess our desire for cleansing, you see, what Jesus did at that moment for that leper is he cleansed him. He didn't heal him, he cleansed him. He said, "Be clean." In other words, he took that thing off of him, that manifestation, that physical manifestation of the leprosy was gone. He was cleansed. He was cleansed. You've got to be willing to confront shame. I want you to write that down. You've got to be willing to confront shame. I believe that it's one of the most deadly things that affects the people of God today. And it's a leprosy. And it starts with a spot. And then it goes to another spot. And then it turns to another spot. And then before you know it, you've got an arm that's covered with the shame. The shame. What is shame? Here's what shame is. Look on your outline. Look at this definition of shame. The fear of disconnection. If you struggle with shame, you feel disconnected. The fear of disconnection, the painful feeling that arises from the consciousness of something dishonorable or improper. Shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. That's what shame is. That we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. You are worthy of the love of God. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. But some of you walked in here today with shame on you. Wonder how often we've said that. Just came out of our mouths. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you for doing that. Shame on you for doing that. I wonder how many times we've said that. But more importantly, I wonder how many times we received that when somebody said, "Shame on you." I asked my son if it would be okay if I told this story, and he said yes. 2 weeks ago, there were a couple hundred people in here on a Monday and Tuesday, young people, youth with a mission, just pressing into God and pressing into God and just asking God for what he had for them. And they had a man speaking from Southern California, pastors of church in Huntington Beach, California. And he spoke that day and then later on that afternoon. And as he was leaving that afternoon, my son reached out his hand to shake his hand and wanted to say, "Pastor, thank you for being here today. Your message was very encouraging to me." And the pastor said to my son, he said, "I saw you this morning, but you were in a different place. You were up front, and I saw you this morning." And as he began to walk by, he stopped and he turned around and he sat down next to my son. And he said to my son, he said, "I need to tell you something." He said, "You have a serious calling on your life." He said, "You have a serious calling on your life, but you have a blanket of shame that you have over you. You have a blanket of shame that you're wearing over you, and you need to let go of that blanket of shame. You need to take it off. You need to just take it off and be rid of it. And be rid of it." And he came home and he told me the story, I could see, and he's here this morning. I could see the light in his eyes, and I could see that something had happened on the inside of him. You know, if you're carrying around shame, it starts with a spot. And then it goes, turns to another spot and another spot and another spot. And I remember asking the Lord last night when I went home, God, why did I have such a hard time last night with the message? Why was I just, you know, I always want to get out of the way when I'm ministering God's word. I always want to get out of the way so God's word can get in the way. Does that make sense? I want to get out of the way so God's word can get in the way. And I said to God when I went home, and my wife helped remind me this morning, I have struggled with shame all my life. All my life I struggled with it. People told me I was no good. People told me I'd never amount to anything. People told me I was ugly. All of those kind of things. And it starts out with a spot or two. And then before you know it, you get covered in it. And then you walk in and you walk in like this. And the leper must have been like that. He's probably looking around thinking, who's going to make fun of me? Who's going to laugh at me today if I come to Jesus? But you know, he had a desire and he made a decision and he dared greatly. You must do that. If you're carrying around shame, you have to have a desire, you have to make a decision, you have to dare greatly, and you have to say, I am not carrying shame around one day longer than today. I'm not doing it any longer. Because why? Confession brings cleansing. The leper came and said, Jesus, I want to be clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. And instantaneously it happened like that. We've been singing about the power in the name of Jesus and the supernatural God we serve. He's willing. He's willing. Shame says, I am bad. That's what shame says. Shame says, I am bad. I am bad. I am bad. No, you're not. You're worthy. How do I know? Because Jesus died for you. This week, early this morning, the Lord woke me up. First time was Friday morning, about 2 o'clock. And all of a sudden, names of people sitting in this room just started popping in my brain, and I just started praying for you. And then Saturday morning, the Lord woke me up early, and names and faces just started popping in, and I started to pray for you. And then this morning, but then I thought, man, God, there's no way I know how and who and all. He knows. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father ever to make intercession for you. And do you know that he's praying for you? Do you know that Jesus is praying for you because he's willing? Because he's willing that you be cleansed? What does it take? It takes confession. Agreement. I want to be clean, Jesus. I'm not living under this garbage anymore. I'm not going to live under it any longer. So number one is confess your desire for cleansing. Jesus is willing. Number two is this. Confess your decision for healing. Confess your decision for healing. In order for that to happen, you've got to be transparent. If you want to be healed, you've got to be transparent. You've got to make a risky decision. You can write it down on your outline. You've got to make a risky decision to be vulnerable. See, you can't do Jesus, you can't do Christianity, you can't do life in the family of God without vulnerability. The only thing that we're taking with us to eternity is relationships. That's it. That's all we're taking with us. Nothing else. Nothing else is going with us into eternity except relationships. So God has put people in our lives right now for us to be in relationship with. See, that leprosy had separated that leper from the people that he loved and the people that loved him. That's what shame has done to many of you. Separated you. God wants us to be healed. He not only wants us to be cleansed, but he wants us to be healed. And I want to read something to you from James chapter 5. Because as we're walking through this, and again, we're talking about confession in three areas. We're talking about confession for cleansing, we're talking about confession for healing, and confession for forgiveness of sins, which that really covers everything. If we walk in this act of spiritual discipline and spiritual training, then we will fulfill what God has called us to do in the area of confession. Here's what James chapter 5, verses 10 through 17 say. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So James is saying, let me tell you what happened to other people who followed God. They went through it. They went through it. They lost some battles. How many of you have lost some battles in this life? We've all lost some battles, but ultimately we're going to win the war. And so James in chapter 5 here is talking about the battles that the prophets and those that have gone on before us have fought. And he goes on to say, for instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. I love those words about the Lord. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just a simple yes or no. And I would submit that to us today, just a simple yes or no. Do you want to be cleansed? Yes or no. Do you want to be healed? Yes or no. Do you want to be forgiven? Yes or no. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Now notice this. Here's what the word says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So according to God's word, if we want to be healed, then we're to confess our sins to one another. That's what the Bible says, not me. I wonder today if people are spiritually crippled, physically not well, because of what James says. Confess your sins to one another to be healed. I wonder. I said this as we read Mark chapter 1. The Bible gives us the ability to wonder when we read. Wonder why the leper disobeyed Jesus. Why, when Jesus said, you go and see the priest, did he rationalize or reconcile in his mind, no, I've got to do something else? I wonder if he needed some healing. He'd been cleansed. Jesus cleansed him. I am willing. You're clean. I wonder if he needed some healing. I wonder if he needed to go confess some sins to somebody for healing. Maybe that friend that was his best friend, that he grew up with, that was there with him through everything, at the first sign of leprosy, abandoned him. Can't be around you anymore. You're sick. And so I wonder if one of the reasons that the leper disobeyed Jesus was because he had received the outward cleansing, but now he needed an inward healing. And so he intentionally sought out people who he could confess sin to. Maybe he had to go up to somebody and he had to say, you know what? I hated your guts. I hated you for what you did to me. It wasn't my fault I got leprosy. And I hated you for doing that. Why did you do that to me? I hated you for doing that. But here's what I want you to know. Jesus has cleansed me. Look, I don't have anything on me anymore. The blood of Jesus has washed you white as snow. You don't have anything on you anymore. But I wonder if the leper went and he said, I want you to know I forgive you for what you did to me. Confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed. So it's not enough just to be cleansed. Certainly, if you're under that blanket of shame, you're going to be done with it today. But what about healing? What about healing? What if there's somebody in here you need to go to and you need to confess to that person and God wants to bring a healing? And it could be a spiritual healing, but it could be a physical healing. Wonder if there's people struggling today physically because they're not doing James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Confess your sins to one another to be healed. So I wonder if that's what the leper did. I forgive you, my friend. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I was so mad at you for what you did to me. It's not easy stuff. It's not easy stuff. If I go to somebody and say, I'm sorry that I had a bad attitude towards you. I'm sorry that I was judgmental. I'm sorry I was jealous. I'm sorry I was critical of you. Wonder how many people the leper had to go to. Wonder if he spent the next 6 months just going to people and saying, listen, and getting it all off of his plate. Why? Because Jesus has provided what was first needed, and then it involved other people to provide what was fully needed. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Jesus provides what we first need, but he includes the body in all that we need. We're the family of God. You look at the people next to you, you're going to spend eternity with them. You might not like them, so just get to another mansion. When you start liking them more, God will move you closer. I don't know how all that's going to work. I needed to say something because it's getting real heavy in here. You're kind of quiet on me. Are you willing to lose some battles to win the war? Because sometimes when you have to go to someone and confess sin because you need healed, You got to learn. You got to lose a battle to be able to do that. You got to lose a battle to be able to do that. You know, the revelation that has hit me over the years of walking with the Lord is that I don't have to walk under shame. I don't have to live under shame. I am not labeled or identified by shame. I am a son of the Most High. I'm a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? You're a son or a daughter. Say, yes, I am. Say, yes, I am. So what do we need to do? We need to walk in the spiritual discipline of confession. Confession for cleansing, confession for healing, and then number three, confess your daring to forgive or to be forgiving. Confess your daring to forgive or be forgiving. To forgive someone means that you dare greatly. To forgive someone means that you dare greatly. This is one of the most difficult things that the body of Christ has to deal with, forgiveness. It's one of the greatest strongholds that the enemy uses in people's lives, and it's a power of a lie that the enemy has used to strangle the life out of God's people. Strangle the life out of God's people. Why do we struggle so much with forgiveness? There's so many reasons. So many reasons. One of the obvious reasons is somehow in our minds we've associated with forgiveness that if I forgive somebody for sinning against me, somehow that makes them right. That's not true. When you forgive someone that has sinned against you, it doesn't make them right. It makes you free. Forgiving someone doesn't make that other person right, but it does make you free. And whether you need to confess your sins to God to be forgiven by God, or whether you need to confess your sins to somebody else for healing or for forgiveness, you need to do it in obedience to God. Notice what 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 say. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. If we confess, the responsibility for forgiveness is on us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. So I wonder if, as the leper went and he confessed to others for healing, I wonder if he, after going to God, went to others and said, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Think about the beauty of the picture of confession for cleansing, for healing, and for forgiveness. All of those are afforded to us, but they come through the conduit of confession. And we see it in the life of the leper. But the leper could only get to this place when he said, enough is enough. He said, enough is enough. I'm not going to live like this any longer. No longer. I've got this desire that I'm not going to live like this any longer. Every single one of us in this room is imperfect and wired for struggle. Every single one of us. Every single one of us in this room is imperfect. Say, yes, I am. Every single one of us in this room is imperfect and we're wired for struggle. That's true. But you're worthy. You're worthy. And whether you got to do it on your knees, whether you got to walk to Jesus on your knees, or however it is, you come to Jesus. That leper's life was forever changed. Imagine his testimony. Imagine his testimony for the rest of his life when he could go out and he could say, Jesus cleansed me. Look, I am healed. I am forgiven. What was he doing? He was walking in wholeness. He was walking in wholeness, and all of that was available to him through the spiritual discipline of confession. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. It's a spiritual discipline. We train ourselves to be godly. Let me just wrap up with a couple challenges to us. One is a question, where do you go when you mess up? Where do you go when you mess up? Do you go to the source? Do you go to the person? Do you go to God? Or do you allow that blanket of shame to just weigh you down? I'm bad. I'm bad. Shame on you. I'm bad. We need to stop that. We need to stop that. We need to start walking in the freedom that God has provided for us, and we see it through the lesson of the leper. Notice what David said. How many of you know David had his problems? David was not a perfect man, but he was a man after God's own heart. Psalm chapter 32, verse 5, finally, so David's saying in conclusion, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. All my guilt was gone. You see, guilt is a healthy thing. Shame is not. Guilt is a healthy thing. Guilt is healthy and painful, but it's meant to be restorative. So when you experience guilt, it's a healthy thing that comes from God, not shame. Guilt. That's why he said, all my guilt is gone. He was convicted, he dealt with it, and all of his guilt was gone. Guilt is this: the fact or state of having committed an offense, crime, or violation, a wrong, especially against moral or penal law. There's culpability with guilt. It's a feeling of responsibility or remorse for an offense, a crime, or a wrong, etc., whether real or imagined. So shame says, I am bad. Guilt says, I did something bad. God wants you, if you've lived under shame, to be free. God wants you, if you've been convicted of sin and guilt has hit you, to release it and say, finally, I am free. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.